B-Pod Studios.
Last week we were talking about that we had there, Tiny Town,
right,
where over by where the Cape Coral Bridge was, where there was actually a community for these midgets to live.
They don't like to be called midgets.
Dwarf.
We had Billy Barty on, who in 1959 founded Little America, and midget was a circus term. That's what they came up with to call General Tom Thumb.
Exactly.
That's what Barnum called him.
He says it's okay to call them dwarfs or little people.
Well, I guess years ago, dwarfs had a stigma attached to that name. Now it's gone the other way, where dwarf is considered correct.
All right. It just means a little person.
Right.
I'm at the Winn-Dixie. I'm going, doing some shopping, wanted to get some dinner. I look down the aisle where the canned vegetables are, there's a little man jumping. Just jumping. Is this a kid that's lost his mother? As I get closer to him, I find out this is no kid. This is a midget dwarf. Because he's an older gentleman.
Okay.
You could see the wear and tear on his face. He had a cap on, but there was gray hair under there. And he's jumping.
So from a distance, you thought it was a kid.
I at first said to myself,
well, what was he jumping for?
Well, I don't want to get involved, and I wanted to push the cart away. The good heart in me says, no, I've got to find out if he's okay. Maybe
people can say whatever they want. That's your first instinct, is I don't want to get involved. Yeah. Get me out of
this.
But
my heart said, I got to go back. Maybe he's having some kind of seizure. Well, he wasn't.
Well, what was he doing? Pogo?
He was just
like
jumping.
A pogo stick jumping?
Jumping up and down. Jumping up and down. Nonstop. He'd catch his breath. He's an old guy, so he's catching his breath. And then he'd start jumping up and down again. So I went up to him and I said, excuse me, sir, are you okay? And he has one of these goofy sounding, you know, dwarf voices because the larynx and all that doesn't grow with him. He said, I'm fine. I'm just trying to get that can of asparagus. There was a can of Le Sueur's asparagus.
Was it tips or the full asparagus?
I don't remember. I think it was the full asparagus. It was in the tall can.
Oh, okay.
And he said, I can't reach it. I said, I'd be glad to reach it for you. And I brought it down to him, and he said, thank you very much. And I said, you know, you remind me of somebody that we had on our radio show. He goes, you do a radio show? I said, yeah. I said, Billy Barty. Right off the bat.
Well, Billy Barty's got to be a hero to him.
Right off the bat. He could have been my friend for the past 20 years. Just telling me about Billy Barty and what he means to the little people of and it kind of started going around to where I understand that there was a tiny town, right? And I said that to him, tiny town. I said, there was a... He said, I used to live there. I said, you used to live... He said, not only did I used to live there, I was one of the original people in there, coordinated a lot of stuff to make it happen. And I said, how would you like to come on our radio show and talk about the days of tiny town? He was a little nervous about coming on the air, but would sit down with our own Rick Peterson and talk.
What we did is we let him do it taped where he could hear what it would sound like so that he did not embarrass himself or compromise anyone else.
Right.
So he had full editorial control over this. This was taped earlier this morning. Jimmy the Midget.
We are speaking today with Jimmy the Midget, who has been kind enough to come here and enlighten us about a piece of Fort Myers history, which is Tiny Town, a town for midgets, which no longer exists, unfortunately. But before we get to that, Jimmy, why don't you first tell us what is life like as a midget?
Well, first off, you referred to me as a midget. Now, a lot of midgets will not want to be called a midget. I don't mind it. I worked in the circus for years, and I enjoyed it, made a good living for my family. I'll tell you a little joke. What people, when they ask me, what's it like being a midget, I say it smells different to me when I'm in an elevator than it does to you.
We'll have more with Jimmy the Midget later this afternoon.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Sounds like a very nice man.
That is beautiful. He is a nice guy.
We're speaking today with Jimmy the Midget, giving us an insight as to what life is like as a midget. Jimmy, what about sex? A big part of everyone's life, certainly a big part of your life, too, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, I love sex, and a lot of midgets and little people and dwarfs will try and tell you otherwise, but... Pardon me, I have emphysema. At least in my case, and you don't want to generalize with any group of people, you don't want to, but in my particular case, which is all I can talk about, I have have a voracious sexual appetite. I can't get enough, and I don't limit myself to women of any particular height. For that matter, women of any particular race. If it's got a pulse, I'll do it. It is true what they say. It's as big as your arm.
We'll be back with more with Jimmy the Midget later this afternoon.
Boy, just a beautiful, beautiful thing. To capture
good guy,
a different lifestyle, a different way of seeing the world.
Why do you call him Jimmy the Midget? Does the man not have a last name?
Yeah, he's got a last name.
Does he want us to call him Jimmy the Midget?
He said it was okay with me.
Here's a... You are a user.
I ran into this guy at the Winn-Dixie, found out that he lived at that midget colony that we had called Tiny Town in Fort Myers. He came in
under the guise of friendship. You brought him in here so he could be made fun of. That is sick.
He came in and talked to our own Rick Peterson.
We're speaking today with Jimmy the Midget. Jimmy, can you tell us what are some of the advantages and maybe disadvantages of being a midget?
Well, if you think about the disadvantages, it'll be very clear to you if you can empathize and put yourself in the position of a man who stands barely 3 feet tall. 3 feet is about the cap on a midget, okay? I go about 2'8" myself. Now, you know you've been in plenty of men's rooms. Where are the urinals? I can't reach those urinals. I can barely reach the goddamn toilet. Now, you have lots of problems in facilities like that. They'll put rails there for the wheelchairs, but what are we supposed to do? What happens is it ends up on the floor, I'll be honest with you, and I don't make any apologies for it. Now, as far as advantages, that would probably be under the category, and it's sort of a, what do you say, it's a cliche, I guess, but on women is phenomenal.
We'll be back with more with Jimmy the Midget later this afternoon.
You are a user, man. That guy, I heard... Hey,
man, if I can use him for that, I'll keep using him.
The man went on in there. He was in there for a good hour and a half and talking about the work of the little people of America and how there's bias, and you managed to edit out. You edit it down to 50 seconds where he talks about the lowest common denominator. You're a user. Down.
I went through the tapes to bring out until you could find
the highlights to you. Something embarrassing. Something that shows little people in a bad light.
The man was willing to talk.
But
you shut him up. No,
but you were not willing to listen. You only heard what you wanted to hear, and it's sick.
Here, matter of fact, we have one for you right now. Earlier today,
sick.
My friend Jimmy Thimble, we call him Jimmy the Midget, came in and spoke with our own Rick Peterson.
We're speaking today with Jimmy the Midget, who has been kind enough to come here and give us some insight into a piece of Fort Myers history, which is Tiny Town. Jimmy, we understand this was a community that was built strictly for midgets. Is that correct?
Well, right. Me and a bunch of my buddies from the circus, you know, a lot of them settled up in the Tampa area. And we were even outcast by virtue of circus freaks. Although I did have one very dear friend who had a third leg, and we used to joke I had a third leg as well due to the massive size of my genitalia as compared with the proportion of my body. We moved down here just to try to find our place in the sun, as it were. And when we found out that they were building that new Cape Coral bridge, well, we sold out to somebody who didn't know they were building a bridge. We made a killing, and now we were looking for more land right now.
Well, we'll get more of this story with Jimmy the Midget later this afternoon.
There you go. There's a happy story.
And the man
made a bundle.
Yeah.
I didn't know
that. Well, he comes across as a con man. Which is, if you listen to the rest of the tape, that's not how he is.
We're speaking again with Jimmy the Midget. Jimmy, can you reach that mic? Is that okay?
Yeah, thank you. That a lot of people don't take the time to do the little things. No pun intended.
And Jimmy has been kind enough to tell us about a piece of Fort Myers history, Tiny Town, which no longer exists. It was a community for midgets at the foot of the Cape Coral Bridge. Jimmy, what exactly was Tiny Town like? What was it like in there? What did you do in there?
It was a magical place, and I remember probably the highlight was we had at one point over 200 midgets living there. And we would all get together, and, you know, we realized we looked different, and we would take advantage of that. Sometimes we'd get liquored up and all go down to that U-Save down there on the college parkway, and we'd have ourselves a time, and people didn't know what to make of us, but we just go down there and get a couple of bottles of wine just to try and keep it going all night long, and then we'd shoot off bottle rockets when we got back.
We'll be back with more with Jimmy the Midget later this afternoon. We are back again with Jimmy the Midget, who is telling us about Tiny Town, the community for midgets that used to exist here in Fort Myers. Jimmy, when you were living here in Fort Myers with your midget friends, how hospitable did you find the area?
Well, I found the area itself very hospitable. People, for the most part, had very open minds and were willing to accept us even at times if we took advantage of that. But I found that most of the problems we had were with the young people and the tourists. For some reason, Germans are very attracted to midgets, and we had to run them off. Because, quite frankly, even though we had a voracious sexual appetite, these were elderly people, and they were looking for cheap thrills, and that's not what we were about. The kids, on the other hand, would try to drive through, even though we locked it down at night. They'd drive through in their cars, and they'd throw fruit at us. And we tried to think about how can we retaliate on this, and we've got tiny little hands, and it's very hard for us to fire back. We finally settled on cantaloupes, and after a couple of windshields were smashed, that came to an end, and they found out you don't F with Tiny Town.
Our thanks to Jimmy the Midget.
What a wonderful human being.
Got a bit of an edge to him.
Heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to turn your radio on. Now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show is so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna sin. They'll fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Was once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
women are crazy. Except you, darling. That's right. Just you. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Our dear friend, Billy Midget just texted us on the Absolute Law text line.
Yeah.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Billy the Midget here. My father was Jimmy Midget, and my brother is Jimmy Midget. I need to record that opener for my brother. Absolutely awesome. As you can imagine, we got the midget jokes growing up. Fortunately, we're all 6'1" or taller.
Yeah, not only 6'1", but some of the finest athletes they've ever That's seen right. in this state.
That's right. He's one of our loyal listeners, him, his son, great people. End of an era here in Fort Myers. A lot of it was started out on Facebook. Is it real? Is it not real? It's happening. Let me read the headline to you. This comes directly from the league site. Fort Myers Miracle morph into Mighty Muscles.
What? What?
Yep. Let me read the story to you. By the way, the logo's out now, and the alternate logo, the team colors are out now. The Fort Myers Miracle, as we remember them, are gone. Now the Mighty Muscles have moved in. After 28 seasons as the Miracle, Fort Myers Florida State League team is coming out of its shell. The Mighty Muscles have washed ashore. Here we go. The Fort Myers Mighty Muscles name was unveiled to the public during a ballpark news conference this morning. The Mighty Muscles are the Class A advanced affiliate of the Minnesota Twins, a relationship extending back to the team's inaugural 1992 season in Fort Myers. Their home of Hammond Stadium also serves as the Minnesota Twins' spring training facility. The just-retired Miracle moniker dates back, and I know this, and Haney knows this, to 1989 when the franchise was established as the Miami Miracle.
Yeah, Jimmy Buffett was a big-time owner.
Jimmy Buffett, our buddy Mike Vec, Bill Murray, they moved the team from Miami up here, and we've had an association with them since day one here in Fort Myers. Fort Myers' new identity comes amid a period of larger change for the franchise, which was purchased prior to the 2019 season by Andrew Kaufman of Jacksonville, the Jacksonville-based Zoyer Sports. Kaufman also owns the Jacksonville Icemen of the ECHL. Kaufman said the rebrand was motivated by a disconnect between the Miracle name, which originated outside of Fort Myers. You want to talk about 28 years of branding a name?
Mm-hmm.
28 years? The local originated outside the Fort Myers and local community. Brainstorming sessions around the new name included two prerequisites. It must be regionally specific while also reflecting healthy, active lifestyles.
What?
Mighty Muscles is, of course, a double entendre, since the muscle in question has plenty of muscles. See, it's coming out of a muscle shell.
And that's what we're known for here in Fort
muscles.
Myers.
Isn't
it?
The Mighty...
Guys?
Muscles.
Are we known for that?
I don't know. I mean, I've seen mussels. I'll eat a clam. I'll eat an oyster. I don't usually enjoy mussels, although I see them stuck to rocks.
Yeah. Scallops are good.
Scallops are delicious.
And what we're known for is stone crab, but
that's already taken up there in Charlotte.
Which doesn't fit because... We know where the good stone crab come from, and that's down here.
The Mighty Muscle's primary logo features the muscle-bound muscle pointing skyward in what Kaufman describes as a "let's go" gesture.
I don't know why. Why didn't they call me?
It is complemented by a pair of an alternate logo. Of a pair of muscle shaking hands.
That's really weird.
Which is done as a tribute to its parent team, the Minnesota Twins, where the Twin Cities are shaking hands.
No, that's weird.
So the Miracle are gone. The Mighty Muscles, and look at those team colors, gold and purple. That'll sell like hotcakes. The Mighty Muscles. See, there he is. He's pointing like Babe Ruth did in the 33 All-Star game or the 33 series.
But it's like a head with two arms, and it's all on steroids and very angry.
The head, believe it or not, if you look at the...
Is that a molar?
That is still part of the muscle. Like, that's... It's
Well, it looks a bit vaginal.
You know what, Haney? I wasn't going to say it, but we were talking with Rick Peterson down the hall, a production man extraordinaire, and he goes, "What is that?" And the thing that perped into my into my head was a purple lady part.
Yeah, inflamed.
Yep, crowning.
Nobody consults with us over these things. We could have solved it for him very easily.
The Mighty Muscles. I don't know.
Now, what we really are known for, and a great natural resource, is of course the skunk ape, and there have been a couple of varieties of that.
Yeah.
And before, I think this may even predate the skunk ape, although we think it's the same creature.
Yeah.
It used to be known as the Lee County Wild Man.
Yeah, we caught him on film briefly.
I think that was a skunk ape.
Was that?
Yeah.
Are you sure that wasn't the Lee County Wild Man when he ran off?
Oh, well, we've caught both. Yes, you're right.
We did catch the Lee County Wild Man.
Boogie boogie, it says. It yells boogie boogie and pumps its arms and runs off. And that nothing says health like that.
Yeah. We actually had on film the Fort Myers Wild Man.
Well, the Lee County Wild Man.
The Lee County Wild Man. And we caught him, and then he's never been seen since.
Now, that's not to be confused with the Palm City Madman.
Oh, no. There's only one of those.
Yep.
So I just thought I'd pass that along. Welcome to...
Because you had the Palm City Madman, a.k.a. Gulf Coast Joe.
Yep. Then you had the Lee County Wild Man.
Yep.
And then you got the skunk ape.
Yeah, all separate creatures.
Yep. But all unique in their own way.
Yep.
So welcome aboard Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
I just...
It's the end of an era. For as long as I've lived here, it's been the Fort Myers Miracle.
And I think that the Miracle hit perfection with the classic Miracle logo with your M, with the palm tree, with the Twins colors.
Yes.
It was great.
Yes.
This looks to me like an off-brand cartoon that's on odd times.
I guess the company that did the logo does logos.
Look at
all
that.
Over that's a great logo. The old Miracle one.
And instead
a baseball is a coconut.
Yeah, instead of a coconut, there's a baseball hanging
and that
there.
Is the eye in Miracle.
It is. Mm-hmm. They did too well.
Yeah.
And, you know, when our buddies were over there running the show, tight ship.
Tight.
Everything was great.
Yeah.
We don't like new things.
What does this guy want? Ahoy.
Ahoy, gentlemen.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Freeman. How you guys doing today?
Good there, Freeman. What's up?
Well, I always used to go to the old Miracles twice a year, and I went many times when you guys were there to help you guys out with the draft fund.
Uh-huh.
It sounds to me like the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles, and I guess the logo is going to be Ethel.
All right, we got to take a break.
And boy, the times we had at the ballpark.
Great times.
Those were some of the best times.
Yep.
Going all the way back to, you know, when I played there with the Allman Brothers.
Yeah, I go back further when I coached first base and, for them.
Of course, the first time Joe Walsh was here.
Oh, yep. That was a great. See, that goes in the book, that one. There's a story with that. We'll be back. Welcome, Mighty Muscles.
But the, it's still like the same players, right?
Yeah, it's the same team.
So it's just a rebranding.
It's a rebranding.
Like if we decided to come in tomorrow as Scooter and Ding Dong.
Correct.
We'd just, be doing the same show.
We'd just change the logo colors a little bit and we'd be
instead of S and H, would say S and D.
Yeah, Scooter and Ding Dong. We'll take a break.
Or stolen your heart, Southwest Florida. Stan and Haney afternoons on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, thanks for playing Crazy Train.
No problem. It's a modern classic.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Over the weekend, I was looking. Great thing about YouTube is you never know what's going to pop up there because you think, oh, I've looked before and it wasn't there. I found footage of Ozzy with Randy Rhoads.
Yeah.
And they recorded a couple of songs in a television studio in London. So the quality was really good. And Randy Rhoads, Rudy Sarzo on bass, Tommy Aldridge on drums, and the album had just come out, and they did Crazy Train and Mr. Crowley. And the interesting thing about Ozzy's band at that point is there's four guys, but Ozzy is vocals only. So you got, in essence, a three-piece, just like Cream.
Yep.
And the work that Rudy Sarzo and Randy Rhoads
were
doing, it really was.
Yeah.
And the most amusing thing about it, and in a purely wholesome way, was as you're watching this, they switch around and you see all the musicians doing their thing. But the coolest part of it is there was Ozzy. And remember, prior to him hooking up with Randy Rhoads, he was just the ex-lead singer of Black Sabbath, hadn't had a hit in forever. And they showed Ozzy's face as Randy is doing the solo, and he's almost like a spectator who's just in awe, like he can't believe what he's seeing. Just a big smile.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kind of like if you see the Jules Holland thing, Dave Grohl watching when Ginger Baker was playing the drums. He snuck up behind offstage just to watch him play. Yeah, well, you got somebody that's a legend. They're in awe of their own legends and watching somebody that is a genius in what they do.
And Randy Rhoads was just a kid.
Yep.
And the legend goes that Randy Rhoads, as a child, learned how to play disciplined classical guitar and mastered it.
Yep.
And then one day, his older brother took him to see an Alice Cooper show, and he saw the reaction, and he said to his brother, you know, I could easily do that, and ended up basically inventing his own style.
One of the greats.
And to be gone that quick.
Yep. By the way, I just got somebody texted us on the Absolute Law text line, and they're half right. Stan, please clarify that it is Muscles, the shell, mollusk, and not muscles like strongman muscles.
It's both.
It's both. It's a double entendre, spelled like the shell, but
they've got a head that has two arms coming out the side, and it looks like a steroid.
Yep. Coming out of a
purple
lady part.
Vulva.
Yep. Grab bank.
You know, there's so many lady parts. I never know if I'm addressing the right one. I think that's it. Pretty sure.
The Pewter Mug.
Pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure of that. I think that's the biological name for it.
Yeah. There it is. There's that video, Stan.
Yeah. Young people. We put names to things.
That's what we do since Adam.
Adults.
Remember
do.
That? In the Bible, yeah. Where now you got to name every animal.
Well, here's a little girl.
A little what?
A little girl. eating a quesadilla, a cheese quesadilla. But she insists, as she's talking to her dad, she's eating a grilled cheese, which is what it is.
Yeah, she's too smart for her own good. And people want to argue with her about it.
He's saying, no, sweetheart. Yeah. You're eating a quesadilla, and she just basically tells him, you know,
you're stupid.
Whatever.
Yeah. Daddy,
yes.
Look at my grilled cheese.
I see. That's not a grilled cheese.
It's salad.
It's a chicken quesadilla.
Chicken quesadilla? It's grilled cheese.
No, it's a quesadilla.
Grilled cheese.
No, that's a quesadilla. I know.
Please say that.
No. I appreciate it because I know I'm right. It's a quesadilla.
You say that.
I'm eating a grilled cheese. You say that.
As the attorney for that little girl, Stan.
Yeah.
She only knows what he's told her.
Yep.
So therefore, she has used her powers of deductive reason.
Yep.
To say, if this ain't a grilled cheese. It is as close as we could possibly get to a grilled cheese.
Oh, yeah, she's adorable.
And so we got to make sure that we train the sense out of them. You see what I mean?
I know. Christmas time, there's always the ad that comes on television that everybody hates. You know, one that always used to drive me nuts are the big luxury vehicles with the bows on.
Oh, yeah, that's standby. It's that's every year.
It's like, oh, come on. Now.
And now, did you see the one where the guy buys an SUV for his wife and a truck for himself?
Yeah.
But she takes the truck because he's a pussy.
Yeah, and she likes that color.
Yep. She wants the big truck and for him to drive the grocery getter.
Here's the new one. And I've seen this commercial, and yeah, it gets under your skin. And women are hating it. There's an ad circulating. It's run a ton of times. Where a husband gives his wife a Peloton exercise bike for Christmas. And she documents her journey for a full year. People have had it with this commercial because the actress is already in great shape to begin with. And talks about how it challenged her in life.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Now.
A Peloton? Give it up for our first time
ride. All right, first ride. I'm a little nervous, but excited. Yep. Let's do this. 5 days in a row. You surprised?
I am. 6 a.m. Yay.
Rising with the sun.
That was totally worth it.
Let's go, Grace in Boston. 50 rides.
She just said my name. A year ago, I didn't realize how much this would change me. Thank you.
This holiday, give the gift of Peloton.
Ah! Yup. Oh, it is driving people nuts.
Hey, Ben?
Yeah.
Would you mind just clicking through to something on your computer?
What?
Because no matter what you click, it's going to pop up. No matter what you click. But not this good. They got a studio band to do it for them.
I'm so glad to be here tonight. I'm glad to be in your wonderful city. And I got a little message for you that a friend of mine's told me a few months back. I'm talking about Brother Solomon Bird. Y'all know him, don't you?
Yes.
These are the words he told me, Chiro.
Not this good. Here's a package for you.
Mm.
Look at me. I spend all day delivering packages. But I'm a lovable mom. Oh, look at this. Here's another package. Here's a package for you. It's a Christmas tree. Oh, look. That family's happy because mommy brought them a package. But now mommy's coming to her crappy little house. And it looks to be about midnight.
Oh, God.
And I love that song, and they've destroyed it.
Yeah, well, it's whoever has the publishing rights has the right to go and use it.
And you know what? The first time I saw the commercial, I actually said, aw. But after you see it 170,000 times... It loses all meaning.
And the Bachman Turner Overdrive, taking care of business. Remember years ago where I think it was John Lennon's Imagine was sold off for some advertising, and then Revolution for the Nike sneakers. It's whoever owns the publishing rights, and it ruins it.
Just run it into the ground.
This doesn't happen every day. And by the way, when you hear the man, yes, the man has an accent. His name is Juan Hunang. He lives in Massachusetts.
Thanks for the warning about the accent.
Yes. An emergency evacuation slide fell off a Delta plane flying over Massachusetts.
Oops.
You know, the inflatable one in case well, it fell off the plane while flying over Massachusetts. Landed Sunday in a guy's yard. Luckily,
I wonder how far that went.
I don't know. Luckily, it didn't land on anyone. Here's the owner talking about the thing landing in his yard.
Caller reports there's an airplane piece in his backyard.
Kind of crazy. Who can know, like, there's something coming from the air and dropping into my yard, right?
Yeah.
And it's pretty heavy. You can't even carry it.
It's pretty what?
It just fell directly in my yard, so I don't even know what happened at that time. My house doesn't get damaged, and nothing major get damaged.
Did he say it's pretty heavy?
Wuhan Hunang.
Did he say that it's pretty heavy?
Heavy.
Heavy?
Heavy.
Can you play it again? Pretty heavy?
Pretty.
I don't know what that means.
Caller reports there's an airplane piece in his backyard.
Kind of crazy. Who can know, like, there's something coming from the air and dropping into my yard, right?
Yeah.
And it's pretty heavy. You can't even carry.
Heavy.
There's something about kung fu in his yard.
I'm gonna skip that one.
Is it for the best?
Yeah, not necessary. I guess Elton John was at a concert, and two guys working security manhandled a woman who was trying to get close to him.
Well, I can't imagine, because, you know, me and concert security have always gotten along so well.
Now, I can't play the whole thing.
He used the C word.
He used the F word, and then he used the C word. And then continue to go at the security guards at the concert.
Hey, here's your security guard with the girls. Morons, both of them. Morons, you don't treat girls like that.
He used the C word. Not the boy C word, the girl C word, and the F word.
And Elton, when you negotiated that contract, you put the promoter in a position where the seats are highly expensive and demanded that money. And so is it because someone's trying to enforce that? If someone didn't pay for that ticket and they're removing them, is that not okay for you? Would you like it to be a free show?
Not him.
See, I'll argue either side. Yep. I don't care.
Country... boot scooting girl, Ray Lynn.
Should I know her?
No, I don't know her either. She's a boot scooter.
Okay.
A big country thing. She's got a new song out. She calls...
Does she wear short shorts, a cowboy
there,
hat?
There, you see her right there.
Oh, yeah, she's just a little darling.
Yeah, a little boot scooter. She has a new breakup song that women all over America are saying, this is great. It's about breaking up, and she feels so good about breaking up that it's like taking her bra off.
Breaking up with you is like taking my bra off. Feeling free and loose like what? This t-shirt I got on. Yeah. Yeah, I should be crying, grieving some kind of loss. But it's like taking this pink and lacy, suffocating bra off.
No. Ray Lynn,
yeah.
That's not how you do that. This is how you do that. She needs lessons. She's still young yet.
Mm-hmm.
This is how that's done. She's too young to do a song like that.
What, taking her bra off?
Yep.
Giving the puppies some air?
No, break up. This is how it's done. This is how breakup songs for women are done. This is a true song, in my experience anyway.
You took me 5 bars, so 30 lattes, please. I saw her Mustang, my eyes filled up with rage. I brought my pistol, but I ain't some kind of fool. So I walked right in barehanded. She was on his arm while he was playing pool. Just like I used to. Kiss him while I got a beer. She didn't think I'd show up here. I'm a crazy ex-girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, no, all about that.
Little Ray Lynn, you know, she's too innocent. Yeah. She goes, looks like take my bra.
Gotta play this for you, because it's fantastic. And we'll wrap it up here. It was like a SNL weekend update reunion last night on David Spade's Comedy Central show.
You mean a reunion from back when it was funny?
Yes.
Norm?
Because in the crowd...
Norm?
Hold on. Because David Spade's doing his stand-up, and in the crowd heckling him is Norm MacDonald, Dennis Miller... and Kevin Nealon. And Dave Spade's doing some jokes, and they decide, well, we're going to heckle you a little bit.
Pat Sajak returned to Wheel of Fortune after getting emergency surgery. He says he's feeling great, and he just won a brand new scar.
They only give you cash on Wheel of Fortune.
That's not true, is it? They give you cash.
He wanted to wait. To be fair, he wanted to wait and see if you went back and polished that up on your own.
No, I didn't.
Is there a delay on their show?
I feel like this one. A camel, a cow, and a donkey were found wandering down a Kansas road. They told police, hey, we got lost. We were trying to find the setup to a Norm MacDonald joke.
They were all on his show last night.
You know, Kevin Nealon's a nice guy.
Yeah, he is.
And it's funny you brought this up with those guys especially. Do you remember when A. Whitney Brown came and visited us?
I do.
One of my idols.
Yeah. Yep, he was here.
And he warned me. And because I think I was still in my late 20s or early 30s. And he warned me, don't get too excited. Everything sucks.
We're going to take a break. Have I got a story from the local beat? I got a real beauty. I think it's North Fort Myers. I think it is. Hold on. Let me just double check. Because this is a...
Well, you usually don't go to the local beat for no reason, yep. Stan.
North Fort Myers, a real beauty. We'll have that when we come back. By the way, later on in the 3 o'clock hour, Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law is going to be in studio. If you'd like to text him on the Absolute Law text line ahead of time, please do so, 239-277-9600 with your legal question, or he'll be in studio to take your phone calls later on in the 3 o'clock hour. He's a lawyer, attorney, after the weekend and the
Some
holiday.
Some people call him the space cowboy.
Yeah, you may need him. 877-960-0. Mike Chiannopoulos in about 35, 40 minutes. Local beat next. We're Stan and Haney.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney.
Oh, by the way, be listening tomorrow in the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to have a major K-Rock Stadium concert announcement featuring four huge bands. We'll do that in the 4 o'clock hour tomorrow. Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law in about 25 minutes. Get your questions in for Mike. He's a lawyer. You could use him. No question too minor.
You know, we were talking to him the other day, and not only is he a lawyer, he's just somebody that knows a lot.
Sure does.
Legally and otherwise. And a lot of times when you're talking to lawyers, the field is so specialized that it would be very difficult for most lawyers to come in here and just take any question.
And that's what he's doing. He's taking any question. Think of it like a press conference and the reporters like, firing questions at him.
No, I don't think of it like a press conference. I think of him as being like the John L. Sullivan of lawyers.
Wow.
He walks in and goes, I can lick any son of a bitch in the house.
He comes in here once a week for you guys.
Not no holds barred.
Not everybody can afford a lawyer on retainer. And you might be going through something that might be small to somebody else, but it's affecting your life.
Oh, when it's you, it's different.
Yep. That's why he makes himself available to you. 277-9600 if you want to call him on the app or text him on the Absolute Law text line. Just put the 239 area code in front of that and text him.
And you know what? Texting is good. I think it's better than the phone call even because it forces you to put your question down in a very simple form where it can be answered.
Yeah, but whatever way you want to do it, he's here. He comes in here for that purpose. And that purpose, trust me, he's a busy guy. He's in court. He's dealing with clients. But he makes this time every week to talk to you. So if you want to talk to him in about 25 minutes or so. Local Beat, have I got a beauty for you.
That's our dateline, Stan.
Dateline North Fort Myers. It happens right here, right in our town. Headline. North Fort Myers man faces charges after alleged beating, stabbing of a worker tied to a chair.
You sure you're not involved in this somehow?
No, no.
Was there a bare bulb hanging over that chair?
There could very well have been. Dateline North Fort Myers. A man is facing multiple charges after a landscaping worker said he was tied to a chair, beaten with baseball bats, and stabbed and slashed with knives by the owner of the home where he was working. It gets a little bit more complicated. 58-year-old Gail Ronald McCauley has been charged with kidnapping, aggravated assault, aggravated battery, and remains in the Lee County Jail on $75,000 bond. He will be arraigned on December 30th. There you can see a picture of him, Haney.
What?
A Lee County Sheriff's Office report said deputies looking for a missing person found the man as he limped out of a restroom at the Murphy's Express on Pine Island Road. The man told deputies that he had gone to a home on Ellis Street in North Fort Myers. This occurred, I guess, on November the 26th. For a landscaping job, and here's where it gets a little fishy.
And this is the guy?
That's the guy that was doing the beating. That's the homeowner. The man told deputies that he had gone to a home on Ellis Street in North Fort Myers on November 26th for a landscaping job, and here you go, ended up staying at the home overnight because he did not have transportation to home. The man's name was withheld due to, and I don't know what this law is, Marcy's Law, M-A-R-S-Y Law.
Mm.
The man told deputies that, you know, he stayed over at McCauley's place because he didn't have transportation. The man told deputies the next morning McCauley...
Never a good idea to go somewhere you can't leave.
No. You and I know that, and we've learned the hard way. Okay?
And that's why we don't go on boats anymore.
That's right.
Oh.
The man told deputies the next morning McCauley, who said he was the owner of the house, and other occupants approached him and accused him of stealing valuable baseball cards. The report said McCauley and the other occupants tied the man in a chair and began to beat him with baseball bats and a wooden axe handle with tape on it, slashed and sliced his arms and legs, and used a fixed blade knife to stab near the left side of his neck. The man told deputies that McCauley also brandished a revolver during the incident. Because he stole some base. How could he steal baseball cards if he was sleeping overnight and was waking up? He was still in the house.
I don't know what you son of a bitch. I know what you did, you bastard. Wake up!
The Lee County Sheriff's Office report said the man... The man had hundreds of minor lacerations covering both legs as well as his left arm. There was a small open wound bleeding from under his right knee, and both ankles appeared swollen. His left forearm appeared to possibly be broken or fractured, and he had a fresh 2-inch slash.
Stan, you know, what? You're using a lot of time here. Why don't we just say the man looked as if he'd been put through a wood chipper?
Yeah, 2-inch slash behind his left ear, which was actively bleeding. A search of McCauley's Ellis Street home, they found exactly what this guy was saying they did to him. They found the stuff.
Did they find any baseball cards?
No. They found two baseball bats. They found a wooden axe handle. Yup.
With tape on it.
A black knife. A yellow knife. A tan knife. A silver revolver. And a tan roll of 3M medical tape, similar to the tape that was wrapped around the man's arm when deputies found him.
Well, at least they treated him.
What the hell? North Fort Myers.
You always want to have an exit strategy.
You always. It is so important.
And, you know, people don't listen to me. W didn't listen to me.
No. Always leave yourself in it. How many times have you and your buddy said, well, there's a party or a bar we want to go to, and, you know, Steve's driving, we're all piling in, and suddenly it turns bad, and mm-hmm. you were a passenger.
Yep.
And you got no way to leave this place.
You're not involved in it.
Nope.
Until you are.
Yep.
Wait a second. Hey, don't look at me. It's another one of them some bitches came in with Steve.
Yep.
Steve ain't here to help you now.
You just want to leave. Oh, hold on. Somebody knows what this Marcy's Law is. Marcy's Law amended the state constitution and various state laws to 1. Expand the legal rights of crime victims and the payment of restitution by criminal offenders. 2. Restrict the early release of inmates. And 3. Charge the procedures for granting and revoking parole. So this guy's name wasn't given, the victim, because of Marcy's Law.
Well, it's a victim's advocate law.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So there you go, yeah.
And you know, This was all because they thought he stole baseball cards.
Wouldn't they be on him if he spent the night at the house and is waking up where you stole baseball cards?
Well, it's when you get involved in drunken nonsense, facts don't matter. Did you see in New York this big brawl that was started by two women? And the one lady, who looks to be middle-aged, I'm being kind, claimed to be an actress, and her friend, she said, was a swimsuit model.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes. Wasn't now, she was at a party, or at a bar, wasn't she? And then she left and suddenly was all bloodied.
Yep.
Yeah.
She was at, this all happened at, I think they call it the Sky Room or something in New York, where it's supposed to be, you know, VIP rooftop bar. And she and her party, I guess, excuse me.
Yeah, that's quite all right, Annie.
Had been in VIP bottle service, the whole deal, to the tune of about $900. And I guess, you know, like these clubs are, they're somewhat exclusive. And so they had paid for the VIP treatment. But according to them, they got turfed out of VIP, even though they'd paid for it, and were taken down with the unwashed masses. Now, they didn't appreciate that, but they did leave. And it's these two ladies and their husbands. They all look to be in their 40s or 50s. And one of them comes to the conclusion that the credit card that they'd used, you know, for their tab, that she'd forgotten it. And so they all head back up to the VIP area to retrieve her card. They tell her, "We don't have your card." And then where you see the camera pick up is they're by an ATM.
Right.
And she's convinced that this random woman who has nothing to do with anything, who's just using the ATM, had stolen her card and was taking money out of the machine with her card. The bouncer's trying to keep things quiet here. And I don't know what these two ladies were saying. They claim that they are the victims of anti-white violence. And they did get the ass kicked out of them by a bunch of black people.
I'm looking at it now.
But what a mess.
And it was
and
a mess.
It's all because of that wet brain thinking things that aren't true. Because she had the credit card on her the whole time.
Yeah.
The whole thing could have been avoided if she only had a brain.
Jeez.
And I love the hotel now because they're getting into the legal stuff. The hotel refers to the woman as a quote-unquote actress and her friend, the alleged swimsuit model. And the hotel's lawyer is going, "We have done a cursory search and we can't seem to find any indication that this is, in fact, their professions. We can't find a record of them being paid to act or a swimsuit model."
Ahoy, who's this?
Alex Jones. Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy. I got about 30 seconds.
Right. I wanted to pass along a great a book recommendation to you guys. Poisoner in Chief.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Clinton's War on Women.
No, not Clinton's War on Women. It's about Cindy Gottlieb and the CIA search for mind control. It is unbelievable.
Beyond MK Ultra?
It touches a lot on MK Ultra. It goes all the way back to World War One, World War Two. It's a short read, but oh my God, unbelievably.
And what's
good.
It called again?
Poisoner in Chief. Sidney Gottlieb, Gottlieb, and the CIA search for mind control.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, buddy. We got to take a break. Mike Chiannopoulos is next. 277-9600 if you want to talk to Mike. If you want to text your question to Mike Chiannopoulos on the Absolute Law text line, 239-277-9600. Family law, criminal, DUI, contracts, everything and anything except bankruptcy. There's a lot of times you need to talk to an attorney and you don't have one at your beck and call. Mike Chiannopoulos is here, 277-9600.
Yeah, Mike, I had hired this guy to do a landscaping job, and he didn't have any transportation, so I let him sleep over. And
stole some
next thing I know,
cards.
He stole my baseball card, so I did the only thing I could do.
Tied him to a chair and beat the living hell out of him.
Yep, I had an axe handle with some tape on it and three different colored knives so I could keep them straight and a revolver. And
we'll be back.
Well, it all went south on me, Mike.
Stan and Haney, 96K Ron.
A toy battery-driven bunny just can't stop beating a little bass drum. And we just can't stop beating a long dead horse. Stan and Haney, 96K Ron.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney, Mike Chiannopoulos in studio. We have a couple of lines open. We'll get to our first caller in just a second. 277-9600.
He is looking sharp today.
Absolute Law text line, 239-277-9600. Mike, welcome once again.
Thank you. Monogrammed shirt. He's a very tasteful Christmas tie on. I think you won the case, brother.
Well, you know, Christmas.
You won the case.
Christmas here in South Florida. What a wonderful Christmas tie. I just couldn't find one covered with, what is it, nine lion mermaids? What is it? Little private joke there, but I want to tell you guys some really cool news.
What's that?
So, you know, I've been doing the Fox 4 Live every morning, 8 o'clock, right?
That's a lot of fun. That's an ungodly hour.
It is. I say gentlemen nor I arise before 9.
Mm-hmm.
But they asked me to do Court TV tonight. So
they have a
mobile studio. So I'm going to be right here outside the courthouse in Lee County, and they're going to be in Chicago and Philadelphia. And we're going to do this live show on Court TV tonight.
That just
about
goes to show you, though, with Fox 4 and now Court TV, you're a go-to guy. And we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about it just before you came on. You can handle just about anything that comes your way as far as we got the phone lines right here, and you don't know what's coming.
No, I don't. And people ask me all the time on the Stan and Haney Show, will they screen you? They give you the questions in advance. No.
No.
The first time I know about the question is when Stan's reading it or the caller's asking it.
That's right.
They did, however, apparently like the comment about standing on the hood of my car, burning my underwear. Apparently that was a
big hit. Wasn't
so
it?
When
so do you know who you're going to be dealing with, or is this just sprung on you?
Yeah, they just called me last night actually, and I said yes, and so they sent me some information today about where to be and when and who I'm going to be dealing with, and so it should be a pretty
good
fun
deal.
Show.
Do you mind me asking? I'm sure that I wouldn't do it for free, would you?
You know, nobody's talked about that, and I'm okay with that. I mean, I don't
care
if they
pay
me or not. Clearly, I need a negotiator.
No,
Haney.
you gotta do it. The first one's free, Haney. First one's always free.
Yep.
You come back to the well, let's talk.
Yeah, now that you've seen what I got.
Exactly.
You know, my fear is, though.
He's going to end up that way.
I know. Well, there he's going to be the go-to guy.
My fear is that I only have a face for radio, so this is the television
thing.
It's scaring me a little bit. I got one eyebrow. Come on.
You got a great look.
On Fox 4, you're all right. You're fine.
We'll see. Debut tonight.
277-9600.
You seriously, you've got a commanding presence.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You've got you've got the intellect, but you've got a very commanding presence. It's probably the Army did it for you.
Yeah, that's
You got to do when you're trying a case and you're in the courtroom, you have to be a presence.
Yeah, no, that's right.
You have to have that jury's attention.
Absolutely.
277-9600. Let's go to our first call on line one. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, guys, this is Bill in Naples.
Bill, you're on with Mike Chinopoulos.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Hello, Mike. Ahoy.
Hey, Bill, what do you got for us today?
So I've been working for a company, a small construction company in Collier County.
All right, no names. You know that, right?
Yes, sir. Okay. I'd love to.
But don't hold back.
Can't do it.
Right. Oh, you got no idea the things we'd love to say.
No idea some of the things I say stand dumps.
It's been done. Go ahead, buddy.
So anyways, what it comes down to, there's about 30 of us. They haven't paid any of us. We're owed. I'm personally owed like 96 hours worth of time, and then they just turn around and file for bankruptcy. I'm not sure what we can do.
Oh, ouch. Yeah, you had me getting excited until you said the B word.
It all depends on where you are in line there, if there's anything to get.
It all depends on the next vowel. No, you're talking about bankruptcy court. I'm sorry. Bill, I would tell you that you have to go through and make a claim in the bankruptcy proceeding.
And wouldn't it be right. as quick as possible?
Yeah. I mean, you have a certain amount of days, and so it doesn't matter whether you do it on the last day available or the first day available, because they won't do anything until those days expire.
How do they determine that? Because my understanding is with a bankruptcy and the creditors, if there is anything, it's first come, first served.
In a sense, but you have to have formal notice, okay? And once that notice goes out to that debtor has X number of days to make a claim. And as long as those claims are made within the claims period, you know, first come, first serve goes for any unsecured debtors, okay? So this is going to be a little bit complex. But, you know, you can go and hire a bankruptcy lawyer. I wouldn't do that, Bill. Because you're going to pay that lawyer, and you may or may not get any money. And as it is, you may be out the money they owe you. You don't want to be out the money they owe you plus money to a lawyer, right? I would go to the bankruptcy court, and it's going to be tough because it's in federal court, and the court clerk's office there is no longer helpful. They've electronic done everything, and to the point where they're robots. There's like no humans there. But you do have a right to access that as a citizen. It's a public resource. You need to go there and get the forms that you need, because it'll be forms. You won't have to make up any pleadings. You fill out the forms for your claim. You file it. You make sure they give you a copy file stamped, and you're golden. If you're entitled to any money, you'll get it automatically after that.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
There you go, buddy. 277-9600 if you want to talk to Mike Chinopoulos.
You know, Stan, as an employer, I take that very seriously. You know, I've been in business 10 years, and there's been some lean times at the very beginning especially, and you know, I never, ever
never even occurred to you.
No, when things were bad, that first year, year and a half, getting it off the ground,
yeah.
I took money out of savings and put in the business account before I wrote the payroll checks. I just don't understand how you can do that to these people that actually work. And then what? This guy's going to get nothing, but he's already done the work.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Already done.
Meanwhile, his family's out, and it's Christmas time.
Yep.
That's just such a terrible thing to do to anybody. Even though legally it's okay, and I had this conversation, you know, just because it's legally okay doesn't make it morally palatable.
Well, look at who's making the laws. Adam Schiff.
Yeah. 277-9600.
You know, literally, you know, people can laugh or whatever, but literally, that's who's
House
making
of
our
representatives.
Laws.
Absolutely. You know, you talk about making sure, even in the lean times of making sure your employees were paid and you know, you pay them first. Haney and I both have worked at radio stations where I would get the check from not here, but elsewhere, and they
said, be a race.
Go to the bank, their bank, get the money out because it might not be enough to cover everybody.
First come, first serve.
Now, when someone is an employer, they are required to have workers' comp coverage, are they not?
Yes, if they have more than certain employees or do certain things, yes. But the vast majority of people are required to. There are very few exceptions.
So why couldn't legislation be done where that
payroll
would be
part
of workers' comp? You know, not ridiculous, but where,
you know, God
say,
forbid something, they go out of business.
Say you'd be covered up to 3 months so there, that somebody there, can't do that.
There he goes, Stan. Yeah. Again, there he goes. Would you get him to stop making sense?
Yeah, he makes a lot of sense.
I mean, Haney, there
man.
You go.
My head is so
streamlining
bloody.
Things, making them efficient. Yeah. You have no place in government, Haney.
Let's go to line two. Let's go to line two.
No place in government.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Bill. This is JJ.
AJ or JJ?
JJ.
JJ, you're on with Mike Chinopoulos from Absolute Law.
JJ, what do you got for us today?
I am divorced for about 2 years.
Congratulations.
And my ex-wife, yeah, I know, right? I've been divorced 2 years, and she will not let me see our son.
Oh.
It's been over a year since I saw him. She will not answer any calls or any texts or anything like that.
Well, it depends on what the final divorce decree says, and are you entitled to, you know, 50-50 time sharing or every other weekend, or what are you supposed to get?
The divorce paper says I can get him for a weekend a month.
Okay, and she's not letting you have him.
No, well, the thing is, she's in Melbourne.
That's on the Florida. Other coast, and where are you?
I'm in Naples.
Okay, Collier County, and where was the divorce?
In Melbourne, in Brevard County.
That's where you're going to have to go back to and file a motion for contempt and spank her, and she'll get it done. If she doesn't, you file another motion for contempt. She'll have to pay your attorney's fees, likely, and you can escalate it until she complies, but you don't want to pay me to go over to the East Coast.
It's beautiful over there.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind you paying me $365 an hour to do that because I'd hire a driver and do other work on the way over there. So it'd be a good deal for me. You'd be getting hosed, however.
You got to go to Brevard County.
Yeah.
I couldn't file paperwork here.
No, not unless the child has lived here.
No, I'm sorry. He has not.
Yeah, unless the baby's lived here, no, that's going to be the proper venue. Everybody has jurisdiction in the state, here and the other coast, but that's going to be the proper venue.
Mike, can I say something while this caller is still on the line?
Sure.
And you have offered this before to people along with a free phone consultation, especially when you're dealing with a parent that is doing something. A letter with an attorney's letterhead on it, just saying, make the right decision on this matter. It opens a lot of eyes. It will change somebody that doesn't know what you are going to, JJ, are going to do.
Right.
And the mother opens up a letter that has an attorney's letterhead on it.
Right.
And he just writes a nice letter that says, do the right thing.
But please work this out.
Yeah.
It just goes to show what this guy's talking about. And beyond the legal aspect of it, you know, for him to be here and her to be over there and then to go, oh yeah, you get the kid once a month. That is a lot of effort and a lot of money to make that happen on a regular basis.
It really isn't. Most
I didn't, I didn't want to show up and just wait out at her house for her. Because then I might get stalking charges or something like that crazy.
Are you supposed to meet halfway or something like that? That's usually the case, no?
No, nothing like that. It was supposed to be just on paper, I thought, but the divorce, that is.
Yeah, you should.
And obviously I was wrong.
You should consider revising that. But, yeah, you're going to have to do something over there.
Wait a second. Was this done while you were both living over there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why it's still there. And the child never moved here. Only dad did. And what I'm saying is, you know, I wouldn't mind doing what Stan said, sending a letter if it was local, but that's not going to help you.
Right.
You need somebody in that county that does family law to send that letter. And it needs to be a nice letter and say, look, you know, work this out. He hasn't seen his son. Work this out. Because if you don't, it's going to escalate to litigation and everybody's going to be paying lawyers and it doesn't make sense. We're going to give you a week to work this out. If you don't work it out in a week, then we got to do what we got to do.
All right.
Okay, thanks a lot,
there
guys.
Go,
appreciate it, Mike.
Yep. All right, man.
That
letter shouldn't cost you more than about $200,
right,
JJ.
And that is
so
the thing.
I want to just let you know that nobody in Miami is going to do it for free like I do here, but it shouldn't cost you more than $200, otherwise you're being ripped off.
Let's go to line one, waiting patiently. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Bill.
Bill, you're on with Mike Chinopoulos.
Bill, what do you got for us today?
I have a question regarding an expungement that I got several years ago. I got arrested the one and only time in my entire life in the early 80s, and it was a minor drug offense, and the judge withheld adjudication, and come to find out 25 years later, I tried to go to Canada, and they told me I was not eligible to enter the country of Canada because I had a...
You were a convicted felon.
Yes. So I had assumed after the probation and everything that the expungement was automatic, which it was not, apparently.
It is not. Correct.
So I went back to the court and got the expungement about 4 or 5 years ago. The question I have is, they do this in the state of Florida, but I would like to get a concealed carry permit, and I would also like to travel to Europe next year And I know those are both run through the FBI, and I was just wondering, does the state automatically send that stuff, the expungement, to the FBI, or am I going to run into problems?
Yeah, here's the thing. It's called the NCIC, the National Crime Institute, NCI, National Crime Institute, compilation, or anyway, it's essentially a database, NCIC. So anytime there's an arrest, so the Fort Myers police, the Lee County Sheriff's, the, you know, Podunk, Iowa police or sheriff, every time there's an arrest, they upload into their computers. Each one of those stops are stops along the superhighway for information, criminal information. It all rolls up into the NCIC. Years ago, we didn't used to have that. So now they can look and see you have a municipal violation for peeing on the grass or something. You know, where 20 right. years ago, right. they'd never know that. Anybody outside the city would never have access to that record. So, yeah, all that's going to go up. Now, the question is, you know, can you get a concealed permit? My guess is no, based upon the Brady Act, because it says even if you, you know, have you ever been convicted of or pled guilty to a felony or a crime involving moral turpitude? Now, that's open for way interpretation, but yours was a felony, so we go back to that. And then it says, even if adjudication has been withheld or a suspended sentence granted. Okay, so you have to say yes to that. The minute you say yes to that, I believe, although I've never seen this particular set of facts play out, I believe you will likely be rejected at that point.
Even though I never pled guilty and they withheld adjudication.
Yeah, because the statute, the federal statute specifically says to include withholds of adjudication, suspended sentences, et cetera. So I think that's the problem that you're going to face. Now, as far as travel, I've never looked at that issue in terms of immigration or the State Department stuff in terms of can you travel outside the United States. Just common sense tells me, gee, I don't think that would be a restriction. But then again, you know, my experience is unfortunately common sense often doesn't apply to the law.
That's my biggest enemy, Mike.
Common sense.
Well, unfortunately, it's like the law's biggest enemy around here.
I don't understand what the point of a adjudication withheld and an expungement does then if it doesn't restore your full rights.
Well, you know, it's the expungement that is offensive to me because the expungement does absolutely nothing. In my opinion, it's still exposed. It's still there. It can still be seen. Law enforcement can see it. Any kind of federal or state jobs you're applying for can see it. So, you know, expungement is just nothing more than a lawyer's manipulation of $1,000 from your pocket to his or hers.
Mm. Yeah, because, you know, a lawyer says that to you. Oh, that sounds great. I can have it expunged.
Right. Have it expunged. That's just a $1,000 trip to the ATM, and you're just giving me money. I like it. Listen, I like money. I don't take money from people for stuff like that. I think that's wrong.
Okay,
but
so because when I was 24 years old, I got arrested for $20 worth of cocaine. I'm just screwed, huh?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, there's a clemency board that you can apply for, and given the fact that it's been so many years ago, and assuming that you've had no arrests since that time, and you've had nothing more than, say, you know, traffic violations, a speeding ticket or whatever, then you'd be a prime candidate for clemency. You've kept your nose clean more than 5 years, and there appears to be your...
More than 35 years.
So for 35 years, you've been a law-abiding, tax-paying citizen, and that carries some weight, and you're the prime candidate for those kinds of clemency, where you say, okay, you know what, this guy served it. We'll grant him clemency. That's it. It's gone. You're no longer a convicted felon. You're no longer a felon. You're no longer anything. Go on and live your life.
All right.
Well, all right. Thank you.
Yep. I'm going to get one more call, and we got about 2.5 minutes.
Let me just tell him, clemency is a little bit expensive, but if you want to talk about it, call me at 239-ASK-MIKE. It's good for some people.
You know, it's starting to sound to me like we don't have rights so much anymore as we have privileges.
Mm. Yeah. Well,
line three. Yeah.
Apparently, electing one's president is no longer a privilege.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, guys. My name's Scott from Naples.
Scott, hey. You're our last one with Mike this afternoon. You're on with him right now.
Thank you. How you doing, Mike? Just it's kind of real quick. It's kind of similar to the two callers before me. I'm divorced. My ex-wife is actually a custody attorney, whatever you call it. We had an agreement that was supposed to be a 30-day temporary custody agreement between the two of us. It says in there that I'm supposed to talk to my son every night and see him twice a week. She was supervising the visits. It's been years now. The question I have is, I live here. She's in LA. I know that it's different, but she doesn't allow me. The original thing says I'm supposed to say goodnight to him every night on the phone. She only allows me to call. She calls me on Skype once a week. And I'm supposed to talk to him on holidays, birthdays. I'm supposed to see him, actually, not talk to him. And since I'm long distance, I didn't even talk to him on Thanksgiving. And like I said,
now, are you divorced?
Yes.
Okay, where did that happen, Florida or California?
We got married here. We got divorced there.
Okay, so unfortunately, California is going to continue to have jurisdiction unless you moved or the baby moved here. Otherwise, you're going to have to go back through California court, and they are, from what I understand, in my limited experience with it, I did have a little bit.
Like a different country.
They are not user-friendly.
and her, like, breaking it, just because she's a lawyer, she's technically taking advantage of the law by changing the dates and doing whatever she wants. Like, does that go against the morality as
well,
an attorney?
Non-lawyers do that too. And I'm in a case right now where the mother's a lawyer and they're claiming that she used her special knowledge of the law. That doesn't get you anywhere.
It seems to me that what matters is who gets possession of the child, and then they can do whatever they want.
And the other person, like you, is in the position of using the court to force compliance. Listen, we got to run. We're out of time, but you can get me anytime at 239 Ask Mike, 275-6453. I'll be glad to talk to you off the air, but we're just out of time.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks.
And that goes for everybody.
239 Ask Mike, 24/7. I don't care where I am. They'll tell you. I answer the phone in Greece.
It's true.
In the Gulf of Mexico.
It's true.
Press 6 anytime.
Like the woman gets custody and they've got all the agreements and everything. If she breaks that agreement, at best, it's a slap on the wrist. If the man breaks the agreement, well, he's going to jail.
We call that the penis tax.
I got it.
Every Tuesday here on the Stan and Haney Show.
Okay.
Mike Chiannopoulos, right. Absolute
All
Law,
right.
239, okay. Ask Mike.
I'm already getting
now.
Bad texts.
Yeah.
Mike, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be back with Stan and Haney.
The only radio show in history to escape from the jaws of a dinosaur. Only to meet a dishy brunette who breaks hearts like glass. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. It's Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, Tuesday afternoon. We're going to get you updated on traffic news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails about 30 minutes away from Stan's Name That Movie, 5 movie clips. First person to identify the film will win themselves a prize. We'll go over those in just a little bit. Also, a programming note, and Rob, you probably need to be aware of it. Tomorrow on this show, he'll be calling in with electric guitar already on and ready to play. Our friend Gary Hoey will be calling in to the show tomorrow afternoon as he gets ready to go around the country with his Christmas music.
We love Gary. We love the whole Hoey family. They've always been very good to us.
I have to address this very quickly. And
what
have
you done now?
Well, it's not me. It's Dave.
Oh, God.
I had to consult program director Matt Mangus after a text I received, along with a photograph. I went to Matt Mangus. I said, do you know if the K-Rock truck is out now? And he says, yes, it is. As a matter of fact, there's some issues that had to be addressed with the truck. And Dave the Waterman is out there driving the truck right now. And so I went back to talk to this person who has a picture. Come over here and take a quick look at this.
Do I want to?
Well, it's just from his dash cam, the K-Rock truck whizzing by. And this bozo does not know how to drive as he pulls out of the intersection, nearly cutting this guy off. And I texted him. I said, when did this happen? He goes, just now. That's where Matt Mangus tells me, yep, Dave's out motoring around with the K-Rock truck, breaking every traffic law out there.
Oh, God.
Dave, abide by the rules of the road.
Dave, you're out there. You're motoring. What's your price for flight?
Yeah. This bozo does not know how to drive as he pulls out into an intersection. Just now, 3:53 while the mic was on. Bonehead. Let's take a look.
You know, he's driving around a van with our pictures on the side of it.
Precisely.
And you're just building goodwill.
Traffic brought to you by Anger Management Rage Room. I can go there now.
You see the van out there and you want people to go, oh, hey K-Rock, yeah, Stan and Haney. Yeah, like, you bastard, you cut
son
me
of
off.
A bitch. Yep. That's Dave. Anger Management Rage Room, Cypress Lake Drive, Fort Myers. Go to amrageroom.com. Learn to drive, idiot. Three things on the board. We will start in Fort Myers, hit and run, 12,000 block of Demoya Drive. Let's see what else is on here. Lehigh Acres crash, 500 block of Thomas Sherwin Avenue South. And in Estero, a crash, 21,000 block of South Tamiami Trail, right by the Walgreens. And you are up to date, coming up in less than 1 hour, the newscast of record, with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, Haney's about ready to tell you. He's got today's headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
All right.
We are on the verge of a national panic. We could be looking at a severe French fry shortage.
Oh, say it isn't so.
You know, if there's one thing this show is known for, it's something or other that we did years ago. Yep. I don't really remember what it was.
Not a doubt.
Yep. But we have another example of that.
Uh-huh, coming up.
If there's one thing, and you know this, Dan, over the history of my life, if there's one thing that really gets to me, it's selfishness.
He hates it.
What a beauty here. A woman faked a medical emergency so that she could get a better seat on the airplane, which forced the plane to turn around. And, you know, when you hear about this where a woman is willing to go to the great lengths for a better seat on an airplane but doesn't want to pay for it, you'd think, oh, it must be, you know, a cross-country flight or something. No. This was a flight going from Pensacola to Miami.
Little puddle jumper.
By the time you put on your seatbelt, you're there. I'm getting mad thinking about it.
All right.
Let's get back to normal. And finally, police bust a man naked in the Kohl's parking lot on Black Friday.
Oh, jeez.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter, it's so important to us. That's why we now present to you the 4 o'clock fluffer, brought to you by Firehouse Subs, Fort Myers, Cape Coral. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
This is very hard to believe. And we were just talking about him earlier, and I had no idea. It's Ozzy Osbourne's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Ozzy.
He's 71.
I believe it. Time flies. Time flies.
And we were reminiscing about his days in the very early 80s when he just got Randy Rhoads in his band. Yeah. And, you know, you think about it, he went through the whole 70s with Black Sabbath. He was a rock star and all that. And then it all went away. And arguably, Ozzy solo with Randy Rhoads became even bigger.
Big.
Well, with all that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
things you didn't know about Ozzy Osbourne.
Top things you didn't know about Ozzy.
He tattooed Ozzy on his hand so he'd remember his name.
Yep, that's it.
Woo!
That's true.
He recorded his version of Winter Wonderland with Jessica Simpson at the request of CIA agents looking for a way to get to suspected terror suspects.
No, I'm not responding to him.
Good.
When he needs to threaten his children, he simply tells them, no crazy train money for you.
Yeah.
Does not meet the smell test.
Oh, God, please no more with the Maxine Waters.
Oh, I think there's more.
The most corrupt member of Congress in history.
I'm a strong black woman.
You're a liar. His hearing issues are less a result of a life spent playing heavy metal and more a result of being subjected to his wife's relentless screeching.
Oh.
Don't you dare talk to me like that.
And she's horrible to him. She plays tricks on him.
Oh, yeah.
For instance, she made Ozzy wait by the phone for hours every spring, waiting for the call that he'd been chosen to perform at Ozfest.
Yeah.
You know?
Shut up, woman.
Hey, you got to be out of your mind.
You're damn right. The military has been known to use Ozzy to communicate sensitive material so enemies can't decipher the message.
Yep. Hey!
He's been to rehab so many times, orderlies ask him where stuff is.
Yep.
Get out of my danger zone, Stan.
I'm not in your danger zone. Stop it.
Somehow managed to have a hit MTV show without being a pregnant 16-year-old.
Earnhardt!
And finally, the very top thing you didn't know about Ozzy Osbourne.
Yes.
He's got a lot of different nicknames.
Sure does.
Even Death has a nickname for him.
What's that?
Death calls Ozzy the Challenge.
Yeah.
You guys are doing
good. Oh, thank you.
And, well, we will. All right, and that's there.
Elvis has left the building.
I could use some soup today.
Moose soup?
What? Anything that's hot.
Yeah, well, you know, when it drops into the 70s, brr.
Email ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy. Oh,
damn it.
At stanandhaney.com.
Okay.
Got a crick in my neck.
I'm sorry. This is from Steve. Ahoy, gentlemen. Sounds like you guys had a pretty good Thanksgiving. You know, I enjoyed hearing Wings yesterday with Venus and Mars and Rock Show during the way back.
Nah, that was awesome, man. That
Paul
was great.
Paul put together a great band and released some excellent post-Beatles music with that band. Rarely do I enjoy live records more than the original studio songs, but Wings Over America is an exception. The band was super tight and really nailed all of the Wings, Beatles songs, and various other cover songs that night. I especially enjoy the live version of High, High, High featuring the late Jimmy McCullough playing some great slide guitar. Thank you again for years of entertainment and staying awesome. Signed, Steve. Thank you, Steve.
See, I was, because of the time that I was born,
yeah,
I just enjoyed Paul McCartney's music because I wasn't prejudiced with the Beatles.
No, I mean, all he did was write, you know, silly love songs, but what's wrong with that?
I'd like to know.
So here he goes again. This is from Kathy. Hey, Stan and Haney, I hope both of you had a great Thanksgiving. We all have much to be thankful for, and thankful for God and country, family, friends, and Stan and Haney in the afternoon. Okay, I need you to know, in again talking about the Wayback Machine, in 1975, I was a freshman in high school, and listening to your Wayback yesterday, I never heard the first two songs that you played, 18 with a Bullet,
mm-hmm,
and the Paul McCartney song, which I could have gone the rest of my life without hearing, but you guys make it so much fun to listen to. You provide laughter. I smile all the way home. Thank you, guys. You're the best. Signed, Kathy. Or in or on the Cape, whatever makes you happy. How can you not like Paul McCartney?
How can you not love a song that includes a recitation that says, in my green metal suit, I'm preparing to shoot up the city. And the ring at the end of my nose makes me look rather pretty. It's a pity there's nobody here to witness the end, save for my dear old friend and confidant, Mademoiselle Kitty.
Kitty?
Kitty.
Les writes, and this is true, and I'll tell you right now, Les, we spoke with the writer, Wayback Machine. You played Barry Manilow's I Write the Songs.
Ironically, I Am Music.
Ironically, he didn't write that song.
Mm-hmm.
No, Brian Johnston of the Beach Boys wrote that song.
Bruce.
Or Bruce Johnston.
Brian's with AC/DC.
Brian Johnson and Bruce Bruce Johnston. He was on the air with us. He did a lot of stuff with Pink Floyd, too. But he did the song, I Write the Songs. Made it for Barry Manilow.
You were really on fire when we were playing that yesterday. I love the way you kept screaming, I Am Music.
I Am Music. And I Write the Songs. The Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. So, guys, tomorrow starts another week of the same old BS. I thought it might be a little more informative with the truth coming out, but it's just more of a waste of time. Why is it that for one of the issues, which is the Constitution and whether or not Trump meets the rules of impeachment, how come the Dems get to have three lawyers to give nothing more than their opinion? And that's all it is, opinion. You know what the old saying is, opinions are like a-holes. Everybody's got one. Thank you, Guardian. You guys are the best.
Sign the Guardian.
Stan,
Jesus.
I know I'd mentioned to you before that the Attorney General is a very good bagpipe player.
Yeah.
And he's played for Congress before.
Uh-huh.
He has another hobby.
What's that?
And I was not aware of this. And it's something he doesn't talk a lot about.
Bar?
Yeah. Mm. He likes to do home canning. And it'll be sometime after the new year before we can all enjoy it. He'll open up at the cans then.
Really?
Yeah. You know what he's canning?
What's he canning?
Bunch of whoop ass.
Stan's Name That Movie is next.
More fun than a Soviet-style gulag without food, running water, or a working toilet. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. Mark Haney and the news. In about 30 minutes or so, we're going to play Stan's Name That Movie here in just a second. Five movie clips. Today, dealing with, well, After Thanksgiving, you had the Black Friday, and everybody's out shopping. These are movie clips that include shopping scenes or going to the mall. Your job is to identify the film. If you do, you'll get a prize. I'll go over those prizes in just a second. But first, let's get a look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon. All right, let's see. We've got a disabled vehicle, Fort Myers, Island Park Road and South Tamiami Trail. Hit and run. Fort Myers, 5,000 block of South Cleveland Avenue, right by the Best Buy. And you are up to date. Another traffic update coming up right before Mark Haney and the news. Shopping. Going to the stores, the malls, shopping centers, department stores.
What about sporting goods?
In some cases, maybe. We'll find out. These are just basically scenes from movies that involve shopping in some way, shape, or form.
Did you have to stretch it too far?
No, not too far. I was surprised. If you are the first person to identify the film, well, let me put everything on lockdown here. If you're the first person to identify the film and you haven't won anything in the last 60 days, you could have your choice of the following. A bottle of Stan and Haney Barbecue Sauce, 10-ounce bottle. What a great stocking stuffer that is. How about $50 to the Pewter Mug in North Naples? Firehouse Subs gift card for Fort Myers or Cape Coral? We have the 2020 Twin Peaks calendar each month with a beautiful Twin Peaks girl looking her best. We have Florida Everblades tickets, your choice of a game that you want to go to. If we have the tickets, you're going. And then we have a qualifier for the Epicenter Festival. This will get you in the running for the big, big show, the flyaway trip to Charlotte Motor Speedway in Charlotte, North Carolina for the 3-day Epicenter Festival. Metallica headlines 2 days. You got Disturbed, Godsmack, Leonard Skinner, David Lee Roth, Bad Wolves, Papa Roach, Voltbeat, and more. You get qualified, and you're going to get a CD from one of the festival bands. And that gets you into the running for the grand prize, that flyaway trip to the Epicenter Festival, courtesy of 10th Street Management. 96krock.com and the mobile app have all the details. These are movies that have a shopping scene in them. Name this movie. Here's movie clip number one. Name it.
Hi, can I help you?
Yeah, I think I like that suit. I'd like to try it on.
Wow, you look really cool.
Yeah, hey, it looks cool on me, too.
It looks great. I mean, you wear that suit to a business meeting, and you'll be the badass in the room.
Yeah, I think I like it. I'll take it. I'm in a hurry. Can you ring it up for me?
Cash or charge?
Cash. Melanie? Hey, girl, what's up?
Hey, are you getting that suit?
Yeah, you like it?
Looks really good on you.
You got something for me?
You betcha.
I put a cherry on top.
Booyah!
What the f*** did Ordell ever do for us, huh?
Thanks.
Name the movie. Phone lines are released.
You know, I could be wrong, but it sounds like that lady was up to no good.
Yep. 277-9600. That shopping, little shopping scene in that movie. There were other angles of that movie as well. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Lucas.
Lucas, can you name that movie?
Jackie Brown.
It is. It's Jackie Brown. You are right. The Quentin Tarantino movie. What would you like?
Everblades tickets.
You got them. I'm going to send you over to Rob. Pick a game you want to go to, okay?
Sounds good.
All right,
thank
buddy.
You.
Hold on. Jackie Brown and Bridget Fonda.
She was remember when she used pretty. To be an actress?
Yep.
Yeah.
We're up to a
and
movie.
Then she just stopped.
Yeah. Movie clip number two. It's all about shopping. Getting out and buying stuff. Name this movie.
People are looking at me.
They're not looking at you. They're looking at me.
The stores are not nice to people. I don't like it.
Stores are never nice to people. They're nice to credit cards. Okay. Stop fidgeting. Get rid of your gum. I don't believe you did that.
Yes, I am Mr. Hollister, the manager. May I help you?
Edward Lewis.
Ah, yes, sir.
You see this young lady over here?
Yes.
Do you have anything in this shop as beautiful as she is?
Oh, yes. Oh, no. No, no, no. I'm saying we have many things as beautiful as she would want them to be. That's the point I was getting at. And I think we can all agree with that. That's why when you came
Excuse
in here,
me. You know what we're going to
need
from here?
The first.
We're going to need a few more people helping us out. I'll tell you why. We're going to be spending an obscene amount of money in here. So we're going to need a lot more help sucking up to us because that's what we really like.
Oh.
You understand that?
Sir, if I may say so, you're in the right store and the right city, for that matter.
Name the movie. 277-9600. It's all about shopping. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Stan, this is Doug.
Doug, can you name the movie?
I believe that is Pretty Woman.
It is Pretty Woman. Richard Gere and what's her name, the pretty woman?
Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts, yep. What would you like?
She was nice in a hot tub.
Yes, she was.
I'd like a pewter mug.
You got it. $50 to the pewter mug. Hold on, buddy. Good job. Movies about shopping. You know, wherever you might be going to do that shopping. Here's another movie clip for you. Name this movie about shopping.
In the event that you approach an assailant, here's what I want you to do.
You're going
to
pull up. Left hip forward, placing your right hand on your away hip thusly, giving the illusion that you have a gun, which, of course, we both know you don't. Okay? But you know what we do have? Our voices! We have our voices. You remember one thing from today, it's this. The mind is the only weapon that doesn't need a holster.
Right. Awesome. How long do we get for lunch?
Half hour. But I eat in 20, which leaves me 5 minutes for social time, 5 minutes to get refocused.
Name the movie. I couldn't stand that movie, and they actually made a sequel to it.
Yeah, they do that a lot.
I know. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Jim.
Jim, can you name that movie?
Ball Cop.
You have to pay extra for that reception?
Yeah, my God. What did you say?
Ball Cop.
No, that's not the name.
Over.
That's not the name of the movie. you got part of it right, but that's not the title of the movie. 277-9600. I actually heard my voice 3 seconds later going through his phone.
Yeah, it sounded cool when I said over.
Yeah. Then you heard it. You heard it scratch over?
Yep.
You got to give me a 10-9. What did we find out that was?
Standby.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
10-8, 10-10.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, it's Peggy.
Peggy, can you name that movie?
I think so. Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
Yes, Paul Blart. Mall Cop. What would you like?
Everblades.
You're going to the Everblades, sweetheart. Pick the game you want to go to. If we got the tickets, they're yours, all right?
Saturday night.
Well, I'll find that. Rob can tell you all that.
Hold the magic word.
Yeah, just, you know, please. Hold on. All right. Shopping. This is one of my favorites.
God, I hate shopping.
Yep. Name. This is so easy. They get easy now, but fun. Name this movie.
You got us into this parking lot, pal. Now you get us out. You want out of this parking lot? Okay.
Would there be anything else?
Yes, do you have a Miss Piggy? Lots of space in this mall. Disco pants and haircuts. Yeah. Baby clothes. This place has got everything. New Oldsmobiles are in early this year. Tier 1 imports.
They broke my watch.
I'm gonna catch that sucker. It's the last thing I ever do.
Name
beauty, 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 beauty.
Name the movie. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Mike in Cape Coral.
Mike in Cape Coral, what's the name of the movie?
That's got to be Blues Brothers.
It is the Blues Brothers, where they went through an actual mall. It was a mall in Illinois that had closed down. And George Lucas and all them, or that wasn't George Lucas, it was... Who is our buddy?
Spielberg.
Not Spielberg.
John Landis.
John Landis went and had the mall all done up again like it was in its glory days for them to just destroy it. You are absolutely right. What would you like?
Firehouse Subs. I love those things.
Oh, they're delicious, and we're going to get you a gift certificate. Hold on, buddy. Nice job. One last
that
one.
That was. And you know what?
There it is. It was
awesome. Such a thing of beauty, and when you saw it for the first time, you had no idea it was coming. It was the greatest thing in the world.
They just drove through the entire mall. Again, they you know, spruced it up, but it had, I guess, been closed for a long time, and it was spectacular. All right, last one. Easiest one of all. Your job is to name this movie, and I need the full title of the movie. Name it.
Can I show you something?
I was just smiling. I was just browsing.
For your wife or your girlfriend?
What? What happened? Oof. I guess it wouldn't be any. Oh. Wouldn't be the Christmas shopping season if the stores were any less hotter than they are. Whew, it is warm in here.
Well, you have your coat on.
Yes. Oh, do I? How did that happen?
Because it's cold out?
Yes. Yes. It is. It's a bit nipply out. I mean nippy out. What did I say? Nipple? There is a nip in the air, though.
Can I take something out for you?
I was just looking at something for my wife. God rest her soul.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. She's not dead. We're just divorced. She's history. And obviously she doesn't wear underwear, and there are plenty of shopping days left until adulthood, which is to say Christmas as in Yule log. Not a log, I don't have a log, but I mean, you know, just, if I had a log, not in the sense that you think I said I did. Good golly. 'Tis the season to be married.
Well, that's my name.
Name the full title of the movie. Just like the other guy that just said, mall cop. Doesn't count. Ahoy, who's this?
Tony.
Tony, can you name the movie?
Yes, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
You got that right, buddy. What would you like?
Firehouse Subs.
Done. You're going to get a gift certificate to Firehouse Subs. Hold
there
on.
There you go, Tone.
There you go, Anthony. And there you go.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
Good job by you.
Thanks. That Blues Brothers scene is the best, though. Going through that mall where the new Oldsmobiles are in.
That was a great time for movies.
I'll tell you, when he says...
You're seeing him for the first time. Blues Brothers, Star Wars, all this stuff.
And I remember I saw the Blues Brothers in the movie theater.
Yep.
And when they ran into the automobile dealership where he said the new Oldsmobiles are in, I said, man, they're so tight on this because the sign was for the 1980 Oldsmobile, and it was the same one that they were using in the TV commercials at the time to buy an Oldsmobile, and they smashed through it, and I said, hey, there's the Oldsmobile sign. Yeah, they did it upright. It was done great. Nice intro. Give me a solid intro, outro too.
Yeah, okay. You deserve it.
Thank you.
And that concludes Stan's tribute to movie scenes about shopping. Tune in next week when Stan pays tribute to farts at the dinner table.
I can do that.
From Radio City in Estero, this is Mark Haney speaking.
The radio miracle so powerful it can strip paint. It's so gentle it's been approved by the FDA for use in baby food. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney.
Oh, jeez.
I got a question for you. I was listening to another radio show. I was listening to a show, and they were talking to a musician. And they were talking about guitars.
Yeah.
And I'm not a guitar player. I'm not a musician.
I'm not some kind of tech head.
No.
I know how to play them.
It's about what's the difference between, and I'm asking a very naive question to musicians out there, but I started thinking about it. What's the difference? What's the difference between a Fender Stratocaster and a Fender Telecaster?
Well, it's a different setup with the pickups. The neck.
Somebody was on there was saying that it's a cheaper guitar. That it's not status-wise, if you had a Telecaster,
no.
It wasn't as good as a Stratocaster.
Here's the deal. This is as simple as I can make it for you. Stratocaster?
Yeah.
Rock and roll?
Yeah.
Telecaster?
Yeah.
Country picking?
Okay, there we go. Thank you. Thank you for that. That answered my question. Let's get you updated on, by the way.
And it's not a status thing. It's... like asking, what's the difference between a hammer and a screwdriver? Which one's better?
Right. Okay. I didn't know.
Depends on what you need. Depends on what the job is.
There was a musician talking about that.
And keep in mind, when you say Stratocaster and Telecaster, there are so many guitars that are sold under that name.
Right.
Some of them are legit. American Stratocasters.
I'm talking legit. They were talking about a rock and roll legend. They had a musician on, well known. I'm not going to get into details. Who said? And I watched him play, and he had a Telecaster. And the host of the show said, "Telecaster? You'd think that he'd step up to a Stratocaster." And it was like, well, I don't know if you guys know it now, that it's kind of cool now to use the Telecaster. And I'm like, what?
Well, that's it. The reputation, Stratocaster is rock and roll, yeah. Telecaster is country.
That's all I need to know. Let's get you updated on traffic for your... speaking of traffic, Dave came back after we got a lot of text messages about his erratic driving.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he couldn't get the van started because he left it in drive and turned the key and it didn't work. This is what I... Hey,
well,
man.
He said he's got to start it with a mallet.
I got a trouble with the van, because that's what Matt Manga said. Why is he out on the road driving around? Well, there's issues with the van. Come to find out, Dave tried to start the van while it was in drive, and so it wouldn't start.
Where does the mallet come into it?
I have no idea. I think that's when he was breaking the key to see if it would work. Tried starting it in drive. A couple of things on the board. Fort Myers got a crash. Sanibel Boulevard and South Tamiami Trail. And another one in Fort Myers, crash. Orange River Boulevard and Buckingham Road. And you are up to date. We'll have one more traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News. Brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And it starts right now.
This is the Evening News with Dan Rather in Washington. Nelson Benton in Washington. Don Webster south of Quang Tri, South Vietnam. Bill Curtis near Indianapolis. And John Sheehan in Wesseling, West Germany, with a special report on the environment. Can the world be saved?
Hi, can I help you?
Why is that not...
Hi, I'm Garrett Gutley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
This is the news for today, Tuesday, December 3rd.
Double M-X-I-X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney.
Hitting that button was almost like trying to start a vehicle in drive.
Well, you need a mallet for that.
Yep. See what I'm enjoying in the studio today?
Ooh, that looks refreshing. Yeah,
it's a fresca.
That's something.
Yeah. You want me to bring one in for you tomorrow?
No.
Okay.
That's okay. Right. I might have some of that ginger ale tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you know what? Andy's got a secret to his ginger ale.
I don't tell anybody.
No.
Anytime I like a product, I go and open my big mouth about it, and then it'll be sold out or they'll stop making it.
Yep.
And in some cases, both.
Yep. Special ginger ale.
And I'm telling you, I think Häagen-Dazs hates me.
Because they've discontinued every one of your ice creams.
Yep. I go, oh, this is good. Give me a case of that. Then the next time I go back, well, we don't know what you're talking about.
We're sorry, sir.
They don't make that, sir. Sir. And they use sir like it's an insult.
Yeah.
Time now for things you didn't know. There was once a pitcher by the name of Hoyt Wilhelm.
Oh, yeah. Hall of Famer.
Made his Major League Baseball debut in 1952.
He played a long time, Hoyt Wilhelm did.
And in his first ever at-bat, he parked it. He
Good
hit what
him.
We call a jacker.
Yep.
Home run. First ever at-bat. Hoyt Wilhelm then proceeded to play Major League Baseball for 20 more years, racking up a total of over 400 at-bats and never, ever hit another home run. The only one he's got was the first at bat.
Yeah, take care of it.
You know, over the years, we've partnered with the good people at Hooters many a time.
Oh, yeah, we have.
And a lot of people wonder, hey, where does that name come from? Well, it's claimed that it originates with Steve Martin's routine, in which Mr. Martin explained, I believe it's derogatory to refer to a woman's breasts as boobs, jugs, Winnebagos, or golden bozos. You should only refer to them as hooters. Hooters. This is odd.
What?
We all know Krispy Kreme donuts.
Yeah.
Now, they got over 1,300 stores worldwide. Which store do you suppose is Krispy Kreme's most profitable?
New York City.
For some reason, Dublin, Ireland pulls in about $330,000 a week in donut revenue.
Wow.
How about that?
I'm gonna, what are you eating over there? What are you eating?
Ground turkey.
Easy, Amy. I know what that does to you.
It would be beef, but my girlfriend,
she rolled it out in the house.
Oh, God.
I tried.
Was that necessary?
I tried to convince Amy one time, you know what? You want to go and eat healthier?
Yeah, you
eat
and your ground, dogs.
Ground turkey and not dogs. And
turkey bacon instead of real
turkey
bacon.
Turkey bacon.
Ugh.
What's the point?
Well, it's better for you. And you really kind of can't tell the difference. Yeah, you can.
Are you hungry for turkey?
Yeah.
Or are you hungry for bacon?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be happy either way if you eat that stuff.
Yep, I agree. Enjoy your turkey, ground turkey.
Yeah, I will.
What does she think?
Yeah.
I don't know.
She think that's going to make you live longer?
We go out to breakfast and we'll have like eggs and yeah, pancakes.
Yes.
And then she goes, oh, we got to have turkey bacon. I go, why? Why? Yeah, Let me have the bacon that I want.
Yeah. Good and crispy pork bacon. He's eating ground turkey.
Not even flavored. Not even flavored, just raw.
Yeah. Because these days they can sprinkle a little pixie dust on it.
Yeah. Make it taste like something.
You know what I've been putting on it?
It won't taste like bacon.
No.
But it'll take the turkey away.
Yep. What are you putting on it?
You gave me a bottle of the sauce.
Oh,
the sauce tastes fantastic.
Am I right on that
yep.
saw? It's like unbelievable. The babacu sauce.
Wonderful.
Saw. Yep.
Yeah, all these things that people do because they think it's going to make them live longer.
Yeah.
It's not.
What do you mean it's not?
I am a firm believer.
Oh, Jesus. What? What were you saying? What? You're a firm believer.
You know my credo.
What? Oh, go ahead. What?
You know, words to live by. It's all genetics.
Well, a lot of it is genetics. A lot of it is.
Now,
but you can help it along by eating healthy.
No, Stan, you can't. You can diet and exercise and eat turkey bacon.
Yeah.
But if you stop taking Lipitor, you'll drop dead.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got to take it. Well, they switched me. I'm taking Crestor now.
Yeah. Enjoy your bacon. You're covered. You got a problem that serious?
Yeah.
Ground turkey will not make a damn bit of difference.
I don't know what's getting worse, me taking the Lipitor for as long as I did and the liver damage that it causes, or dying from liver damage and just letting the heart go.
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly,
yeah.
You look at the number of years you can reasonably expect. It's not that many. And if you look back at your life, you're not going to go, boy, I'm really glad I stuck to my guns and ate nothing but ground turkey for 20 years.
What if I kind of like off. What if I kind of like ground turkey?
Oh, then have at it.
Rob, do you like
ground?
Do you
hate it? Absolutely hate it.
Don't eat it.
Yeah.
Then I won't eat. I'd have to cook myself.
If she's making the food for him, he eats what he's given.
You should have seen Thanksgiving. I got so angry. No stuffing. Every other
what? What?
We had rice. We had wild rice and no stuffing. And it made me lose my mind.
Wild rice instead of stuffing, ain't
he? That's a crime.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how much butter it takes before I'll eat wild rice? It's counterproductive, really. Sorry about that, folks. In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
Hi, I'm Jason. You're in love and want to purchase a diamond. You have so many choices. You may be thinking, do I wait till I'm back in New York? Do I jump online and search the internet? Maybe I'll cruise over to the islands. Before buying a diamond, you owe it to yourself to give Todd and me an opportunity at the Diamond District.
Jason and I have the largest selection of GIA-certified diamonds in Southwest Florida. All are priced at or below the most competitive places in the world. We've partnered with De Beers in Canada and Africa. We've traveled to Israel, Antwerp, and India to select our diamonds. We want to offer you the best possible diamond buying experience.
Come see why more people choose the Diamond District than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News.
On the Stan and Haney Show.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill. Well, I know this is supposed to be the good news segment, but I'm afraid there is no good news.
There's no good news?
As a matter of fact, there's some very bad news.
What?
There is speculation that the United States of America could be on the verge of a massive French fry shortage.
Oh, my God. Rob's not allowed to eat French fries, though. Makes no difference to him. He can eat ground turkey, turkey bacon, and wild rice.
And don't they make fake fries?
Yeah, if they did, he'd
where
it's
some
them.
Sort of soy product.
Yeah.
You realize all these foods, they're just full of feminine hormones.
That's true.
Well, then, you know what I do when I leave? Like, I had to go to Lake Placid this Saturday.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. There's no reason to go there.
You know where you go through?
Where?
LaBelle. You know what they got in a LaBelle?
Oh, they got a Popeyes.
Yep, I stopped on my way home and got a chicken sandwich.
Oh, absolutely. Good man.
Ah, you should have got yourself some of that sweet LaBelle honey while you were there. Some of that orange blossom honey.
That's good, too. That's good, too. That I was playing golf with my buddy Jeff. And you know what he said to me? He said, he lives in Cape Coral. He said, you know what I'm doing after I get off this golf course?
I'm going to go eat some orange blossom honey.
No, I'm going to go to Popeyes and get a chicken sandwich. And he said the same thing. Pickle placement is unbelievable. Said the same thing.
And why are we facing a French fry shortage?
Why?
Global warming, climate change.
Oh, cut the crap.
Yeah, so there won't be a French fry shortage. Don't worry about it.
Plenty of
shut up, Greta.
Yeah, you know what?
How dare you?
Yeah,
how dare you?
We're overwhelmed with potatoes.
We'll always find a French fry.
You darn right.
If there's one thing in life that I truly cannot abide. Because I'm pretty forgiving when it comes to other people's flaws.
Yeah, you are. You are.
But there's one that I cannot abide.
What's that?
Selfishness.
Yep.
Where someone is convinced that nobody else matters and that everything needs to be focused on what they want.
Yep. It's kind of like the snowbirds when they come down and go shopping in the Publix.
Well, that's not the way we do it in New York.
No.
An American Eagle flight took off from Pensacola on Friday morning. Once it was airborne, a woman on the plane exclaimed to anyone that would listen, She was having severe breathing issues. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, ma'am. Yeah. Is there anything we can do for your breathing issues? Yes. I need you to move me to the good big seats that I didn't pay for. They did. They gave her the bigger seat. But the pilot misunderstood and didn't understand that this was simply a selfish woman. He believed that there may be a medical emergency.
Yeah, you would think that, you know.
So he turned around and flew the plane back to Pensacola with emergency personnel waiting for this woman in distress. When they landed, the woman was very upset and explained to them, like she's got to spell everything out, that she was just faking because she wanted a better seat and she didn't want to pay for it. What, are you dumb?
Yeah. You idiot.
And then she refused to get off the plane. She was advised to watch her head.
Yeah. Yep.
The pilot finally talked her into getting off the plane, and at that point, she was taken into custody. And I can only hope that she is prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law and sent to Gitmo.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, boy, it's a tough job being a cop on patrol.
Damn right.
Because what are you doing? You're literally out there looking for trouble. And you're going to find it. A police officer was patrolling the parking lot of a Kohl's store in Knightdale, North Carolina, on Friday, when he smelled marijuana coming from a vehicle. And sure enough, when he looked into the window, he saw 28-year-old Tylick Little inside. And
what's going on there, Tylick?
And our main man, Tylick, was completely nude.
What? What? Nude?
Yep.
Jeez.
Tylick tried to drive away, but the officer stopped him and arrested him for indecent exposure, resisting arrest, and yes, marijuana possession. It might surprise you to know that Tylick also had several other outstanding warrants.
Oh, sure.
You wouldn't think that about a guy sitting in the coal parking lot nude smoking pot.
Jeez. Maybe his lady was in the Kohl's getting some of those good Black Friday deals.
Yeah, and no one knows why he was naked. And by the way, congratulations, Michigan. Light up.
Yep. It's legal now. Recreational.
Yep. No restrictions.
No. Just what Detroit needs.
Just that'll fix it.
Yeah, that'll fix all of Detroit's problems. Recreational weed.
How come nobody does that for Coke? You don't see people advocating to make Coke legal.
No, you don't.
And that's the news for today.
And I was told in the 70s it was non-addictive.
Yeah. Miracle drug. December 3rd.
MMXIX.
Yeah, that's it.
There he is. Little Monkey Haney telling it.
I've done
like
all I can.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We're going to take a break. We'll be back as soon as Rob finishes his ground turkey that is unseasoned.
Geez, that is god awful.
Yep, and his wild rice.
like eating maggots.
We couldn't be more proud to work for the Beasley Media Group, and we'd like to thank them for the indoor plumbing and the microphones.
Thank you.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for spending your Tuesday afternoon with us. Rob Show coming up at 6 o'clock, going to take you through your Tuesday evening. Let's get one more look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon. Okay, a couple of things on the board. In Lehigh Acres, got a crash. 11th Street West and Gunnery Road North. And in Estero, we have a crash. I-75 northbound at Corkscrew Road. And you are up to date.
Since then, it's not the same. You know, it gets pretty sore.
I'm just a regular, everyday, normal guy. My parents are really nice people, mother. I'm just a regular, everyday, normal guy. I'm somewhat afraid of heights, mother. I'm just a regular, everyday, normal guy. I like the show Grey's Anatomy, mother. I'm just a regular, everyday, normal guy. And I'm pretty good at making paper planes.
Now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
You find out how poor you grew up with how late in life you learn Red Lobster's not a fancy restaurant. I'm not talking trash. I love RL. It's so good. It's so good. But it is the Applebee's of the sea. That's all it is. We treat them so different. I didn't know Red Lobster wasn't fancy until I was 33. And I'm 33. It was months ago. I was here. I was in New York City. I was in Times Square. I was with my friends. And there's a giant Red Lobster. I was like, let's go to Red Lobster. And I was just like, we wish. Someday, right? And they were like, no, for real, let's go. And I was like, no, for real, I got shorts on. We're not getting in. That's a khakis only establishment. Is there a Kohl's around here? Get some Dockers, gussy up a bit.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this.
I found footage of Ozzy with Randy Rhoads.
Yeah.
And they recorded a couple of songs in a television studio in London. So the quality was really good. And Randy Rhoads, Rudy Sarzo on bass, Tommy Aldridge on drums, and the album had just come out, and they did Crazy Train and Mr. Crowley. And the interesting thing about Ozzy's band at that point is there's four guys, but Ozzy is vocals only. So you got, in essence, a three-piece, just like Cream.
Yep.
And the work that Rudy Sarzo and Randy Rhoads were doing together, it really was.
Yeah.
And the most amusing thing about it, and in a purely wholesome way, was as you're watching this, they switch around and you see all the musicians doing their thing. But the coolest part of it is there was Ozzy. And remember, prior to him hooking up with Randy Rhoads, he was just the ex-lead singer of Black Sabbath, hadn't had a hit in forever. And they showed Ozzy's face as Randy is doing the solo, and he's almost like a spectator who's just in awe, like he can't believe what he's seeing, just a big smile.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kind of like if you see the Jules Holland thing, Dave Grohl watching when Ginger Baker was playing the drums. He snuck up behind off stage just to watch him play. Yeah, well, you got somebody that's a legend. They're in awe of their own legends and watching somebody that is a genius in what they do.
And Randy Rhoads was just a kid.
Yep.
And the legend goes that Randy Rhoads, as a child, learned how to play disciplined classical guitar and mastered it.
Yep.
And then one day, his older brother took him to see an Alice Cooper show, and he saw the reaction, and he said to his brother, you know, I could easily do that, and ended up basically inventing his own style.
One of the greats. Laughter, it's so important to us. That's why we now present to you the 4 o'clock fluffer, brought to you by Firehouse Subs, Fort Myers, Cape Coral. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
This is very hard to believe. And we were just talking about him earlier, and I had no idea. It's Ozzy Osbourne's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Ozzy.
He's 71.
I believe it. Time flies.
Well, with all that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
things you didn't know about Ozzy Osbourne.
Top things you didn't know about Ozzy.
He tattooed Ozzy on his hand so he'd remember his name.
Yep, that's a
Woo!
That's true.
He recorded his version of Winter Wonderland with Jessica Simpson at the request of CIA agents looking for a way to get to suspected terror suspects.
No, I'm not responding to him.
Good.
When he needs to threaten his children, he simply tells them, no crazy train money for you.
Yeah.
Does not meet the smell test.
Oh, God, please no more with the Maxine Waters.
Oh, I think there's more.
The most corrupt member of Congress in history.
I'm a strong black woman.
You're a liar. His hearing issues are less a result of a life spent playing heavy metal and more a result of being subjected to his wife's relentless screeching.
Oh.
Don't you dare talk to me like that.
And she's horrible to him. She plays tricks on him.
Oh, yeah.
For instance, she made Ozzy wait by the phone for hours every spring, waiting for the call that he'd been chosen to perform at Ozfest.
Yeah. Yep.
Ow, ow, ow.
though.
Shut up, woman.
Hey, you got to be out of your mind.
You're damn right. The military has been known to use Ozzy to communicate sensitive material so enemies can't decipher the message.
Yep.
Hey!
He's been to rehab so many times, orderlies ask him where stuff is.
Yep.
Get out of my danger zone, Stan.
I'm not in your danger zone. Stop it.
Somehow managed to have a hit MTV show without being a pregnant 16-year-old.
Earnhardt!
And finally, the very top thing you didn't know about Ozzy Osbourne.
Yes.
He's got a lot of different nicknames.
Sure does.
Even Death has a nickname for him.
What's that?
Death calls Ozzy the Challenge.
Yeah.
You guys are doing
good. Oh, thank you.
And, we will. All right, and that's there.
Elvis has left the building.
I could use some soup today.
Blue skies. Yeah. Every day is a gift.